Bill, are you going to come pray for us here? We're going to, you guys can feel free to have a seat, but I just want to say that today, of course, we have some various people coming to share here. The body's going to build the body here, and I honestly believe this to be the case, that God has gifted each one of us, and each one of us, with the help of the Spirit, actually has words that can encourage and build each other up. So I trust that that will happen this day, that we can hear from each other and be built up in Christ. Bill, you want to pray for the service?
Thank you, Father, for this time. Father, we pray that those who are going to share today, Father, that you will just open up and let them speak freely, Father, that you will let them feel your presence as they speak. Father, we just pray, Lord, and give you thanks for this wonderful service and our wonderful music and this time. And thank you so much for our Pastor Johnny. Father, we just pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Bill.
Well, under the philosophy of ladies first, Les, would you be willing to start lead us out?
Because I just want to know how long I've got.
Long as you want.
Yes. A little steak sandwich or something.
Yay. You know, I can talk later, Jeff.
Okay. Johnny finished this message, these 2 years in John, with the exhortation that we're to follow Jesus. And we're also to not be distracted and to exercise the gifts that have been given us and use the wisdom that comes from the body to recognize the gifts that have even been given us. So anyway, bearing in mind that the gifts that we've been given in the body are for the use of the body and not for the use of the one, rather than me use a part of the body that is not really mine to be exercising, I came to Paul and asked him to tell me what my gift is as best he understands it. And Paul has been with me a number of years sitting at a table, and I felt that he would be a good one to give me insight into what it is that I've used quite possibly in error. And he told me what I had done in error, but he also told me where I had exercised a gift that he had received from that he felt was beneficial. And he told me that the emails that I've been sending out and the times that I have led from the front when I make sense and don't ramble have been encouraging to him. And the emails in particular that Paul was addressing were the emails that I send out to the ladies after our sacred space study of the week and just try to surmise what we have learned from the week. And I asked Paul to read them and see what he thought, and he said he's been ministered receiving those. So I had already been processing the possibility of sharing from John, from the first part of learning from John, because I didn't think that very many people would go all the way back to the beginning of it, but they might choose something that's a little bit more fresh in their mind. So I chose the first chapter of John. And the passage is verse 14 of John 1. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And I had sent out, much like I did with Sacred Space when we first started John, in a desire to speak with the body about what we were learning in John, I was sending out email thought processes to you guys at the end of each week following that Sunday. So sort of thinking on it and then processing it in my own mind and then rehearsing it back to you guys. And needless to say, since you didn't receive one last week, there's at some point where I quit doing that. So, but in the first chapter I was doing it. So I thought I would share to you from that passage of the Word becoming flesh, the email that I sent out, and this was back November 23rd, 2015. So I hope my thought process hasn't changed too much and this is not too mistaken in what it meant for me at the time. Beloved, Johnny spoke an amazing message on Sunday regarding the Word becoming flesh and dwelt amongst us. I guess it could be argued that I believe every message I hear from him amazing. I hope it has left you thinking on these things and you have spent your own time reflecting on these wonderful truths. Johnny asked us to consider what was meant by the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us, and why does it matter? For those of you who have been at Stone Harbor for a while, you are aware that we did a study, Sacred Space, God with Us, on this subject, which is what of God dwelling among us. It took us 2 years to complete. So the question Johnny put for us of God, what does it mean that God took on flesh and dwelt amongst us in his Son, has no easy or quick answer. I confess, even having completed the study, I find myself still stymied, trying to articulate the promises and purposes of God. I feel like the kids we taught salvation history in Sunday school. When asked any question, they quickly blurted the answer, Jacob, or Jesus. And they would be right by way of promise, Jacob, to fulfillment, Jesus. But how to understand what all that meant in the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us is still mind-boggling. So I will simply say how wrestling, Jacob, get it? Through these truths touches down in my everyday life. I know the King to the kingdom came as promised and conquered the usurping illegitimate force of this world and liberated the captives enslaved to sin, regathered the dispersed, restored the kingdom with the King on his throne, and now we experience the perfection of communion exemplified in the church in Christ. But the residual battlefield argues that there has been no effective victory. I see the lost still wandering this earth, brokenness that argues against redemption and restoration, estrangement in relationships that I want to see harmonious. I don't have my best life now as I see and define it, and I experience in myself and with others indifference and autonomy in what is supposed to be common union in the body of Christ, that is, his church. Where is the joy in that? Here comes the harder part. What the scriptures remind us and call us to do, and for the sake of brevity, too late, you say. I will condense these wonderful words of encouragement and exhortation. Please, beloved, remind yourself, each other, and especially me, in what we must do as believers in Christ. Set your mind on things above. You are the dwelling of God. Lay aside the old and put on the new self. Take our thoughts captive. We are a new creature. We no longer live, but Christ lives in us. We are a chosen royal priesthood, God's possession. We are children of God. The already that Christ has accomplished should be more than sufficient to yield the fruit of love, joy, peace, hope, and faith as we long for, but patiently await the not yet. Come, Lord.
Thanks, Les. I think of that scripture, you're talking about being washed in the water of the Word. That was a nice little rundown of scriptures reminding us who we are in Christ at the end of your remarks. Thank you very much. Let's see here. Paula, you're up close here. You want to... Is it true that you had a few words to share?
In light of that, what, Leslie, I just want to say I'm blessed by you all. As Leslie was talking about her gifts, and just want to say that we all share that in common. And when we share those gifts one with another is when we are looking like what we're supposed to be. And as I was reading through the book of John this week, I wasn't sure how the format was going to be, and so I guess I had missed the email that Johnny sent out, and so I called him yesterday and said, what are we doing? So this was just put together after work yesterday, but as I was reading through, I kept trying to think of what has impacted me, and so much. So many verses, and how can I pick one verse? So I just wrote this out. It is interesting that as I was reading through the Gospel of John, I kept remembering the issues of the disciples' misunderstandings, the people's spurious faith, and even that of the Pharisees' denial and willful disregard in the midst of all their knowledge of Scripture. Thought of how when Nathanael says, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. And I thought, what did he think when he said that? What was his process? Or when Jesus tells the Pharisees, destroy this temple and I will raise it in 3 days. And John puts a reference there that it will only be later that the disciples remember, understand what that meant. And this would be after Jesus is raised from the dead. The Pharisees, they sought to kill him after the healing at Bethesda because he said, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working. The people seeking after him after he feeds the 5,000, and he says to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. And shortly after this, he tells them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. And this was right after the people were saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? The Pharisees, after Jesus heals the blind man, they say, we are not blind too, are we? And Jesus replies, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say, we see, your sin remains. Later, the people are arguing that he has a demon. Why listen to him? Others say, these are not the saying of a one demon possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of a blind man, can he? So I don't have time to go through all the different moments here of signs of unbelief or misunderstanding, but suffice it to say there were many. Yet also, not to forget that there were many that believed. How that belief was fleshed out, it seems, only lead us to that time when Christ was arrested, tried, convicted, and killed. Who remained? It really is quite a summary that John writes. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in his name. So to bring out what all this study and wrestling in the book of John has helped me to see, how simple it is to believe externally, to rationalize with myself that I know enough and that it is enough just to know. I find myself standing in the crowd looking for something to eat. What is he going to give me today that will prove him more and yet shore up my moments of unbelief by not trusting him in times when I am alone? by seeking after the things that satisfy the desires of fallen man, self, to be the center of my world and leaving him on the outskirts. Isn't it interesting the gospel closes out with, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Follow me." I'm eternally thankful for the Spirit of Christ which dwells in me and testifies of him. May I remember to be humble in his eyes, to love my brothers and sisters, even to cherish you. That without this, he will not be known through me to those who do not know what true life is. And I think that to the degree I love him, I will also love you. And that's it.
Thanks, Polly. To the degree I love him, I will love you. I just say amen to that, that our love towards God and our love towards each other definitely are linked, proportionate to each other. It's one of those graphs that are, what is that? It's a one-to-one graph that goes up, straight up. The greater our love for him, the greater our love for one another. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate you sharing that. Russ, you had some words. Uh-oh, he's taking off his jacket. He's getting ready.
As typical Leslie and I decided to trip over each other. I guess we think alike somewhat, that you express yourself so much more beautifully than I. I know it. It is definitely weird. All of us have an image of the newborn Christ, the incarnate Christ, deity in a human body. And we've studied in detail what Christ has done and what Christ has said. But before that, there is a structure. And unlike some people, I don't believe the roof is the most important part of the structure. I believe the foundation is. And what I'll attempt to do is summarize 3 weeks' sermons in 7 minutes or less, which is not easily done. But John, in his prologue, attempts to answer the structure. What is the deity that became Jesus? And we have to go back to a word called logos. And that's how I pronounce it at any rate. For about 600 years before Christ was born, both the Greeks and the Jew philosophers came up with a concept of God that was a little more complicated than just God, which is, if God isn't complicated enough. But they kind of divided God into, and forgive me because I don't know quite how to express it, but I think that is probably correct. I don't know how to express it. Into a deity that was and don't pick on words here, but kind of concepts, a companion to God, but so intertwined with God, they're in perfect harmony, but a servant of God, God and not quite God, deity all wrapped up in one. And this concept was kind of defined in the concept of logos. The word logos we translate as the word. And so John was writing when he wrote his gospel. He was writing to the first century Jews and Greeks who had this concept of logos in their mind. And he used that fact to try to describe the structure, if you will, of the deity that became Jesus before time and before things were created. Because that is where the foundation really is back before time. So with that as background, let me read the prologue to John. I'm reading from John 1, if you want to follow along. I'll give you a minute to get your Bibles open. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Skipping forward to verse 9. There was the true light which, coming into the world, enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and those who were His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the world became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about Him and cried out, saying, "This was He of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for He existed before me.' For of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time, and the only begotten God, who is at the bosom of the Father, He has explained Him." So for me, that adds an incredible depth of foundation of the deity that became Christ. And that adds another dimension, because we have to think outside of the box of Christ, which is a huge box to think of. But we have to start thinking in terms of infinity and things along that line. But it's not that Christ was born and then God gave him deity. That isn't how it really was. It was that the Logos, the Word, existed before Christ. And then Christ was only a partial or a representation of the Word on earth in a human form. And that thought and train of thought makes me reevaluate the words that he says, because you have to take them in context of he was there before time and not just as a baby in a manger. So that I found deeply striking in John, although when we first got this, I started to make a list of passages I wanted to read in John. I would have been up here for a while.
Thank you, Russ.
Say amen on that last thought that, that, yeah, if we were to read through and pick out the good stuff of John, we would pick out an awful lot. It would be hard to leave anything out. And what we left out is probably just left out because we didn't understand it. And if we did, it would be good also. But thank you. Yes, our consideration of Jesus does not start with a baby in a manger, but with the eternally existing Word, who was with and who was in fact God. Wow, that is a big thing to get your head around, and I appreciate your remarking that that causes you to, if you will, put even more credence in the life and words of Christ because of who he is and has been for all eternity. So thanks. David contacted me. Dave O.
I know I brought a big book, but this is really pretty simple. Probably pretty short, too. But before I go into this, I would just like to lift up Suzanne. Johnny said this morning, wow, brave gal, Monterey to Texas in 3 days in a car with a dog and my daughter. So I just pray travel mercies on Suzanne. She was in Phoenix last night on the road today in her second leg. And even for the entire family that's converging in Rockport this coming week for Suzanne's dad's 90th birthday. We're going to celebrate down there in Texas with the family. So just lift them up in prayer. I did pick something that was more recent, not necessarily because it was more fresh in my mind, but really I think it was more impactful to me. You know, this is really, it's not some deep exegesis, and really, for me, I mean, my background is a Marine, U.S. Marine. You know, there's Air Force and there's Navy, and you know the Air Force in particular. You know, current technology and a lot of complexity, and you know, one thing about the Marines, one of the slogans you hear among Marines a lot, it's brilliance in the basics. You know, and it's I don't want to sound like I'm disparaging towards depth of understanding and the full complexity, but I think that comes out in a lot of what you guys shared. Is there are some deep, you know, and profound truths about God and his kingdom and his plan of redemption. But for me, what's most impactful often is in my day to day, not struggling so much with those deeper truths, but being able to cling to, you know, the basic sort of things that draw me in. And so what really hit me was when the Spirit moved in me when Johnny was covering the message from John 21, when he appears after his resurrection to the disciples in the Sea of Galilee. And, you know, for me, it's just a sweet and beautiful picture of redemption. And so in the Sacred Space study, I just pulled out some notes. This was one of the, this was God with us 16, the Mosaic Covenant. And I think, Johnny, I think you put this together. But it's, you know, a little bit of a synopsis of the redemption history. And so in the fall, dominion was not lost, but communion was lost, and man was driven from the presence of God, driven from the presence of blessedness, estranged from God, and therefore estranged from himself and everything else. And yet, even as God was pronouncing his curse, a curse that would extend beyond simply human beings to the whole created order, in the midst of his promise, his threat, his oath of curse, God was promising deliverance. And so this idea of just God with us and that being sacred space is really, for me, just really the fundamental issue. And you know, it is at its foundation, I think, a doctrine of love. I did have some notes here, too. Yeah, not just love, but fatherly love. And for me, you know, when I try to define love, again, its most basic element for me is being with. You know, I mean, there's the different types. We even talked about this. Your message talked about the filial love and what was some of the Greek words? Agape, yeah, love. And, you know, there are all those sort of definitions. But for me, I mean, the fundamental desire is when you truly love someone is just to be with that person. And in fact, that's where love is really evidenced. You know, we talk about that, the body, being in amongst the body. You can't be like a lone ranger in Christianity and truly living out, you know, your faith. And so, and also the fatherly love issue is I you know, look at my own life as a father. I think where I'm most affirmed as a father is when I provide for my children, and I don't want that to be rejected. I want that to be accepted when it's a right kind of love, you know, for their best. And almost like an acknowledgement of that and a thankfulness in that. And that's like the pinnacle of being a father, of that affirmation as a father. And I can't help but feel that our Heavenly Father just basically wants that for us. And, you know, I said, my observation is love is instantiated by life together, enjoying the good times and also the mutual support in the difficult times. It seems to me that love is difficult to attain or realize from a distance. You know, say, what is it? Separation makes the heart grow fond. But, you know, you're nearly not living into that love if you're not there and present with family, friends. And I think that's that way with God, too. So I wrote, since the beginning of his creation, I see God providing for his creation out of love, and creation living into his purpose by relying on God for its needs, that provision, the fatherly provision. My observation is that things tend to go awry when creation tries to provide for itself and loses its close communion with its creator. And that's where I got again into the fatherly role. So I have a deep sense of conviction that God has a similar desire to have us accept his provision as our source of life and truly everything we would ever need, and that we affirm him when we lovingly thank him and even come to depend on him for everything. You know, my next breath, my, you know, whatever comes next and you know, my life here. So in this view, the John passage of Jesus appearing to disciples at the Sea of Galilee is, for me, again, just a sweet picture of that very simple yet profound doctrine of a Christian faith. When I just rely on Jesus and enjoy him and strive to live every day in close communion with him, I live out my most basic, you know, created purpose. And so, you know, the passage here says, after these things, Jesus manifested himself again with the disciples in the Sea of Tiberias, and manifested himself in a way Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana, etc., sons of Zebedee. His disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, well, we will come with you also. And I just imagine that. I'm going fishing. Okay, we'll go. Yeah. And they went out and got in the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, and the disciples did not know it was Jesus. So Jesus, this stranger who's on the beach, yells, hey, guys, did you catch any fish? They answered him, nope. And he said, well, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find a catch. Kind of funny. So they cast, and when they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard this was the Lord, he put on his outer garments, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. I don't know why he got dressed to jump in the water. But, you know, it's just that excitement. And, you know, there's so many. I remember going through the red, you know, we went through the Gospels, and it was the red teachings of Christ. And there were so many issues or instances there of even like the initial sort of, you know, Christ coming into his ministry of they want to just go there and be with him, like Andrew, you know, like they leave everything and they just want to be with him. And so there is just that excitement of it's Jesus. And so he gets to shore, and then the others, they bring the boat in and they're dragging this fish. So when they got on the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and the fish placed on it. There's the fatherly provision and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. And this is the part, this 21:12-14. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples ventured to ask or question him, who are you, knowing it was the Lord. And Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. And this was now the third time that Jesus manifested to the disciples, himself to the disciples, after he was raised from the dead. And I just, again, it was just a beautiful picture of that living out of, you know, that sacred space of just being with them. And, you know, for me, that's a fundamental thing that I just sort of cling to, is like, don't be the Lone Ranger. You know, I could be out there as the fisherman trying to think like I'm doing this of my own, you know, will or technique or talent or whatever, and just living into his provision, again, in everything. And that just helps me. That touches me and gives me that brilliance in the basics. Thanks.
It's interesting how the Word of God will minister differently to different people where they're at, and I appreciate you listening to that, Dave, from the vantage point of where you stand. And so so recognizing even, you know, a human tendency, but maybe an awareness of your own that that you can be a Lone Ranger, and hearing the prompting of the Spirit that you that should not be a Lone Ranger, because the very essence of what God is doing is that he has come to be with us, and with us implies not just with us as individuals himself, but with us as the body of Christ. So anyway, I thank you for your words, and thank you that you particularly that kind of listening to the text with with an openness to hear maybe the Lord speaking also particularly to you in your situation. May we do that. May we not only press in for the understanding of what God has revealed in his word sort of generically, but also with a sensitivity to what the Lord is revealing in his word by the power of his Spirit in a unique way that we need to hear right now ourselves. So thank you. Yeah, that struck me too, Dave, the withness, God with us, as the sort of subtitle, if you will, or alternate title to Kit's Sacred Space series. God with us? What is the big picture of God? It is about him desiring to be with us and working so that he actually made it possible for us to be with him. Out of our estrangement of being away from him, he made it possible through his death and through his resurrection to be with. And we see that worked out in kind of the tangible daily living of Jesus, that he was with his disciples in that way. And it was a volitional thing that he did. I have to acknowledge that he did not need to appear to his disciples, but he chose to, he chose to be with them. Anyway, so thanks. Thank you guys for preparing and for doing that. Is there anybody sitting on something that they kind of wish they had contacted me so that they could have an opportunity to share? I give you option. Okay. Thank you, guys. Today is, we didn't get palm branches and wave them or anything like that, but in the church calendar, this is Palm Sunday, coming up on Good Friday at the end of the week, followed by Easter a week out. So I would encourage you during the course of this week to go through in your devotional time, go snag it if it's not typically available to you, make it by hook or crook, and read through on between now and Friday. And you read through the scriptures at the end of each of the Gospels. We have four accounts; all of them tell the story of Jesus' death on the cross. You read through those, and with a knee bent to the Spirit. See what they have to say to you. And then after Friday, maybe read again, dip back into the end of the Gospels and read the story of the resurrection of Christ and see what marvelous victory we have in that story. And then there's two opportunities coming up here. We will gather on Friday, whoever is available, noon to 12:45, just for a time of prayer, scripture reading, and a little quiet reflection on the cost of our salvation in Christ's death on the cross. You're welcome to come. And then on Sunday, just a regular worship service, we'll celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. Lots to celebrate. I ask you to put on that celebration hat and come and celebrate the life that he's given us in conjunction with his resurrection life. All right. God bless you guys. Thank you for your words. And enjoy the day.